You're listening to the Save the Marriage podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
As you can imagine, one of my curiosities in life is the difference between those who are able to save their marriage and those who are not able to save their marriage, where it doesn't work out. And there are a group where a spouse just will not step back into the relationship. So I want to kind of peel off the group where it really becomes impossible to save the relationship because a spouse won't even let the process begin. And I want to shift it between those who I think really could have saved their marriage and those who really do save their marriage. And it occurs to me that there are some distinctions. And today I want to talk about three of those distinctions. These are three secrets that people who save their marriage have discovered. And these are three secrets that you can activate in your efforts to save your marriage. So let's talk about just right through those three. The first one is that people who are able to save their marriage recognize the difference between the symptoms of their marriage problems and the causes of their marriage problems. A lot of times I see people come in and they're trying to deal, you know, how do I deal with this other person that's in the relationship? How, you know, it's an emotional affair or a physical affair. Or how do I deal with the anger that's coming at me from my spouse? How can I deal with the resentment? How can I deal with my own hurt? How can I deal with all of the problems that have happened in the past, the lying or the negligence of the relationship, all of the pieces that have come together? How can I work on that? And the first thing that you'll notice is all they're naming are symptoms. It can look like those are what cause the problems, but they're symptoms of the problem. It's kind of like if you're a doctor and someone comes into your office with a fever, and so all you do is give them something to reduce the fever, not ever wondering about the underlying causes of that fever. Something is creating the inflammation response. Something is creating the feverish response in the body. And if you never get to it, it's never going to get better. In fact, my wife and I were talking about a situation that she heard about where the person went to the doctor and they just kind of passed on it, worked on treating the symptoms. You know, there's a fever and some aches and pains. And so they gave him some medicine and never recognized that there was an underlying infection that was bringing the person's very life to their edge. And so in that case, it really was a factor of only treating the symptom. So people who are able to save their marriage are able to recognize the difference between the symptoms of that and the causes. So let's talk about this in real terms of the cause. The cause of most of those symptoms really are about hurt, and they're really about disconnection. Remember that the roots of marriage are in connection. That's the lifeblood of a relationship. And part of what happens in the decline of a relationship is that the lifeblood is being choked off, that the nutrients of the relationship that are brought through the connection are not able to make it into the relationship. And so the people are cut off. I've talked about the pause button marriage, where people think that they've hit the pause while they raise the kids and climb the corporate ladder and run the marathon and all these other things that call our name. And then when they come back to the relationship to find the relationship has died, they didn't recognize that you couldn't put it on pause. And so they've disrupted the connection. And in the disruption of the connection, have lost what was there in the relationship. At that point, you begin to see that the real cause is disconnection. In that pause button marriage, the real cause of the problems is the disconnection. And what has to happen is not to treat the symptoms, not to treat that you're angry with each other or that you feel neglected by the other person or you don't feel like you're on the same page with the other person or you love them but you're not in love and lots of other words that we hear used. What's really going on is the disconnection has dropped to the level where there is hurt and pain and disdain for each other. And so part of what I notice is a lot of times when you look at how people try to move forward in the relationship, all they're doing is dealing with the symptoms. One of my pet peeves about a lot of marital therapy is that it's based in communication theory. It basically says that the problems we have in relationships are because we're not communicating well. So many times I had people come to my office and say, you know, we just need to learn to communicate better. And my response is to say, you know, if I teach you to communicate better, all you're going to be doing is arguing better. You're going to be more effective at attacking each other. You're not going to be getting better in the relationship, just better at the attacks. Because the real issue is not at all in that communication pattern. Most people are good communicators. I'll sit in my office and have people share with me about each other for, you know, almost an hour, and I understood every word they said. And yet they're asking me to teach them communication skills. I don't think that's the issue. Below communication is connection. And connection is what flavors the communication. So if I feel like somebody is disconnected from me, I'm not going to have a very good experience of listening to their communication. Communication is a symptom. Connection is the problem. How about an affair? Well, an affair comes together when there is a lack of connection and a lack of boundaries. Whenever there's a lack of connection and a lack of boundaries, it's kind of waiting for the opportunity. When people are connected and they maintain the healthy boundaries of a relationship, it's kept safe from infidelity, because infidelity is really just a symptom of a lack of boundaries and a lack of connection. Those are the underlying pieces. So rule number one, the people who understand the difference between symptoms and the cause of their issues do a lot better job of addressing it. So many times I've watched people as they've tried communication skills, they've tried lots of other ways of dealing with the issue, but they never got to the true issue of the disconnection. All right, so number two, the next secret is people who save their marriage recognize that their spouse is not the enemy. This is a big one. I watch so many people who struggle against the spouse, and they treat their spouse as if they're the enemy. And so it becomes a very oppositional piece. You'll notice that if you watch what happens in a divorce process, the attorneys will put a versus between the two names, the people who are in the divorce process, because it is oppositional. The problem is we often become oppositional before we're at that point. Sometimes people think that the enemy is their spouse, that they've somehow got to turn their spouse around, and so they begin a process that's oppositional. They begin struggling with the spouse. They begin trying to coerce a spouse, force a spouse, somehow try to turn a spouse using pressure. And at that point, they've made the spouse the enemy. Now, think about that. What you're trying to do is create a relationship, a better relationship, with someone who you've now made the enemy of you. And you'll notice that what that does is it follows a pattern that I've talked about many times. A marriage always starts with you and me. That's always the beginning point of a relationship. And it's a great beginning point. You and me in love who want to join our lives together. A lot of times people don't recognize that the next step of that is to become a we. We are in this together. We are a team. We have each other's back. This is a core piece for me of a mindset of a successful relationship, that both people say, we are in it together. But if you don't make that, you and me over time becomes you versus me. It becomes oppositional by nature because it hasn't become a team. And whenever it's not a team, all of those decisions that have to be made begin to be more and more vital and more pressure until you get to the place where the opposition begins to bleed out. And the you versus me builds and builds until it is you versus me in a legal process. People who are able to save their relationship recognize that they're not up against their spouse. They may be up against a spouse's mindset. They may be up against a culture's mindset that relationships aren't really worth that much. They might be up against friends and family's mindset that maybe it's just easiest to cut and run. That's what they're up against. The beliefs that are behind that, the mindsets that are behind that, that's the enemy. The spouse is never the enemy. The spouse is who you want to enlist and invite into the process. And whenever you make your spouse the enemy, The breakdown continues. The pressure builds. The pain continues to mount until it's almost as if there is no other possibility than going to war. And that's what often happens. Many times the process becomes so consumed with anger and frustration because it's become a you versus me, and it's become the spouse as the enemy. Those who are successful recognize the spouse is never the enemy. The mindset, the beliefs are, but the spouse is never the enemy. The third secret the people who save their marriage recognize is that they need a plan. On my other, my Thrivology podcast, I've been talking about habits. And the reason it's so important to look at habits is because usually our habits are getting us exactly where we are. We're getting exactly what we could out of our habits. They're spinning us exactly where they could. And the problem is, since those habits are so ingrained, we have to have an alternative. We have to find another way through that, or we continue to repeat that same listing. The habits of communication with the spouse are there, long been there. If you're a disconnected couple, then your habits of communicating and your habits of connecting are what's continuing to feed the disconnection. If you're a connected marriage, then you have built-in habits of connection. And one of the examples that I use, one of my tools, is the one-way text. It's meant to be a no-pressure way of letting a spouse know that you're thinking about them, that you they're in your heart and your mind. And so sometimes I have this very interesting question from people who say, well, how long do I keep doing that? I mean, as my relationship gets better, when do I stop doing that? And my response is, why would you stop doing a habit that lets the other person know that you're thinking about them and caring for them? Why would you change that? So here's a little secret. The same methods I use to build a relationship back from the brink of divorce are the ones that you can use to continue building your marriage forward. They're just the ones that you make into your habits. But the habits have to start in a plan. Otherwise, you'll fall off. Have you ever had that thing where you sat down and you said, you know what, I'm going to get in better shape this year. I'm just going to do that. I'm going to get in better shape. And yep, I'm just going to do that. And then answer me the next question. How long did that work out for you? How well did it work out for you? So if you're at the place of saying, you know what, I really do, I want to save my marriage. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to save my marriage. And that's as far as you get. You've missed the big jump. The big jump is when you commit to it. So let's say the same thing. You decide to get into shape. And the way you're going to do that is that you're going to take five walks a week. And then you're also going to go lift weights three times a week. And maybe you're going to do some sprints every now and then. And you got that down. And then you sit down and you look at your eating habits. And you choose maybe a Mediterranean diet or a paleo diet or whatever a diet you want to do, a keto diet or whatever it is that hits you. And so you plan out your menus, right? You not just claim that you're going to eat that way, but you plan out your menus so that you know what you're going to do when you get up tomorrow morning and at lunch and at dinner. And so you have all that laid out. And then you realize that you want to do some other things like take some vitamins or go get a checkup or do some other pieces. And that becomes a habit of your life. You'll notice that how it became habit was because it was part of a plan. Until it's part of a plan, there's nothing to activate. There's nothing to keep you on track. Our brains, our minds are interesting things. We'll start hitting in one direction and then we'll easily be detoured somewhere else and still believe that we're on our original route. One of those shining examples in my mind was a client who decided to work using my techniques, which I'll claim that my technique is about building connection. It's all based in the human need for connection. So she was using my plan and making good progress and everything's going along really well. And so she figured she was at the point where she now needed to use the no contact rule. And if you've heard about the no contact rule, by the way, I did a podcast where I said the no contact rule is crap and I will stand behind that. But the no contact rule is where you have zero contact with someone, usually for a 30-day period, as a way of making them jealous, forgetting the fact that people don't really feel that jealousy unless they're connected. It's not that absence makes the heart grow fonder. It's absence makes the fond heart grow fonder. And if the heart's not fond right now, having no contact is not going to bring the fondness back. And so this person was making great progress with connection and then decided 30 days of no contact. And then at the end of 30 days, decided it was time to start working on connection again, only to find that her spouse had moved on, had another girlfriend, and was, you know, filing paperwork. And she said, you know, I don't know what happened. I was working on saving the marriage. And I said, well, you really weren't. You started off saving the marriage and then you detoured, but you didn't even realize it because you didn't have your plan. The importance of a plan is it helps you stay with my three C's of being calm, constant, and consistent. It also helps with my three C's of when you're working on the connection with your spouse and when you're working on changing yourself and creating a new path. You have all those pieces in your plan. The importance of that is that you have an anchor, you have a mooring, you have a place to come back to and say, how am I doing based on what I wanted to do? And many times that's a reorientation. I've had many people who, you know, they'll create their plan and they think they'll go off and do it. And then they look back and they realize that they have failed miserably to keep up with their plan. But people who make their plan and then follow their plan are the ones who are capable of saving their marriage. Okay, so those are the three biggies I want you to think about. The first one is to recognize the difference between the symptoms and the cause of your problem. Number two is to recognize your spouse is not the enemy. And number three is that you need a plan to follow. Now, if you've got all that worked out, that's great. If you recognize the real true causes of a relationship problem, great. If you know how to make sure your spouse does not become your enemy, great. If you have a plan for how you're going to save your marriage, great. But if you don't, I would ask you just to consider trying the Save the Marriage system. That's where all of that is. You can find it right there. You can learn how to build that plan. You can make sure you understand the symptoms. You can make sure your spouse is on your side, that you're on your spouse's side. You can work in that direction. You can find that at SaveTheMarriage.com. Right now, in the process, as you're going through the process, after you get the Save the Marriage system, I'm also going to give you a free week of my VIP virtual coaching program. You can get that for free to make sure that you get that. And guess what's in the membership area? In the membership area, I have a fill-in-the-blank plan to save your marriage, along with training to help you understand how to deal with that underlying issue and how to make sure your spouse is on your side. Not only that, but if you go ahead and grab the system, I'll also throw in a complimentary getting started session with one of my coaches, but you got to start now. The reason you got to start now is not because of some offer I'm making, but because your relationship needs it now, not later. Don't look back in a month going, man, I wish I had gotten started. One of the biggest things I hear from people constantly from going through my material is, why didn't I start this before? The time will pass, and the question will be, have you taken action? Have you moved forward, or are you still stuck? Check it out at SaveTheMarriage.com. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.